Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you're having a great day. Now, when I say the first phrase, it makes sense to all of us, right? Happy Mother's Day. But when I follow it up with that second phrase, I hope you're having a great day, that hits all of us different. For some of us, this is our first Mother's Day. We've got this precious new baby in our arms, or like my daughter-in-law, two babies in her arms. Yes, it is a happy Mother's Day. For some of you, everything is going right in your world of motherhood. And yes, it's a happy Mother's Day. It's a great day. And then there's the other end of the spectrum. When I get up here on Mother's Day and I say, Happy Mother's Day. I hope you're having a great day. And the truth is, this isn't a great day. This is a hard day. This is a day of loss or grief or pain or struggle. I don't know where Mother's Day is hitting you on the continuum of motherhood this morning, moms. Anywhere from the greatest of joy to the deepest of grief and sorrow. But what I want to say to you this morning is, this is all part of it, Mama. This is all part of it. And today, as we come into Mother's Day, we're going to find perhaps the greatest mother at one of the hardest points of her motherhood, the hardest point of her motherhood. As we go through this series, through the Gospel of John, the passage of Scripture that I was assigned for this morning finds us at the foot of the cross with Mary. With Mary. She's watching her child be crucified, be tortured, be mocked, be ridiculed. And yes, that moment was all part of it for her motherhood. So I step back from that passage, from that moment in John chapter 19, and I say, what is it that we can learn about godly motherhood from Jesus' own mother? Now, we're here. We're not Catholics, so we're not here to worship Mary this morning. But we are here to honor her. And we're here to look at her example and to see what God has to say to us as we live our lives. This message is first and foremost for you mamas out there. You mamas who've brought children into the world, you mamas who've adopted kids. But this message, I believe with all my heart, goes beyond physical motherhood. I believe it goes into spiritual motherhood. And dads, you're not out of the picture in this either, because when God brings us into spiritual parenthood, the points that we can learn from Mary's life applies to all of us. So today, what I want us to do is to take a journey step by step through different scenes of Mary's life, of Mary's motherhood. And we're going to ask the question, what can we learn about godly motherhood, godly parenting, through the life of Jesus' own mother, Mary? We're going to look at different scenes in Scripture. We're going to end up back at the foot of the cross with Mary. We're going to end up at John chapter 19. But we're going to look at some other snapshots of her throughout Scripture. So for those of you who are here in person, I just want to say welcome this morning. To those of you joining us online, I am so honored. We are so honored that you're here with us this morning. Happy Mother's Day to you as you celebrate from afar. And then I also want to say a special shout out and welcome to those of you who will listen to this later, to those of you who listen on the Vanguard Church podcast, as well as those of you who listen on the Family Disciple Me podcast. We are so grateful that all of you are here with us to look into the Word of God today. So with that, let's begin. If you have your program, or if you have your Bible app, or if you're following along in your Bible, if you will begin with me in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, and we're going to pick up with the very first scene where we get to meet Mary. And an angel named Gabriel had just come to her, had just told her something really, really profound. He told her that she was going to be the mother of the Most High God. And look at what Mary said after Gabriel gave her this amazing, miraculous message. She said this, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. I don't know about you, but here's the thing about me and my motherhood. I really like my plan. I like my agenda. I like what I want for motherhood. I would prefer for it all to go that way. Anybody with me on that? Anybody? Just a few of you. Okay. I'll stand here and I'll admit it. I like my plan. But the thing is, God wants me to want his plan more than my plan. He wants me to want his agenda for my motherhood more than my agenda. And Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." That phrase, "let it be to me," means may it happen. May it be so. May this be what takes place. So what can we learn about godly motherhood from Mary? We start with surrender. We start with surrender. Surrender is a faithful yes in the face of uncertainty. In the face of the unknown, in the face of what we want or don't want, we say, "Jesus, yes, no matter what, yes, let it be to me, not according to all my great plans, but according to what you have planned." That faithful yes is something that the greatest servants of the Lord throughout Scripture said. I looked it up. I don't think any of them said verbatim, "Let it be to me according to your word," but each in their own way said, "Yes, God. Yes, I'll do whatever you say. I'll walk through whatever fire you say walk through. I'll take whatever path you say. I'll accept whatever struggle you bring into my life. Yes, I surrender all." Moms, you may say, "Well, I didn't say that when I began motherhood. Or I didn't say that exactly when I had toddlers. Or I didn't say that." Here's the thing. Yes starts every single day. As you sit here on this Mother's Day, what are you saying to Jesus right now? Whether you're a mom or a dad or a spiritual mom or wherever you are in the journey, what are you saying? Because surrender, it could start yesterday. It could have started years ago, and hopefully it did, but it must start now, today. So what's your answer? Have you started today with surrender? Then my encouragement for you is to say yes to God right now as you listen, as you sit here, as you listen later on this podcast, say yes to Jesus. As you do that, we're going to skip to the next scene. Approximately 9 months and 8 days later. This is the scene where baby Jesus was 8 days old. Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to dedicate him. And as they were there, there was an older, godly gentleman who was brought by the Spirit into the temple. And this man named Simeon felt God speak word of prophecy over him. So he approaches Mary and Joseph, and he begins to speak into their life. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, we pick up with this. And it says this, Simeon blessed them. Let me just stop there. in your journey of godly motherhood and fatherhood, make sure that you follow Simeon's example. Bless others in the name of the Lord. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, Jesus' mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. If you don't feel that verse in the depth of your core, then you probably haven't been a mom too very long. Because here's the thing, motherhood is amazing. I wouldn't change a moment of it. I wouldn't take back any part of it. God gave me 5 precious children. My youngest, my 5th, is on the front row today. The glories, the amazing moments. But here's the truth. Motherhood is going to pierce our hearts as surely as it pierced Mary's heart. There are so many prices required to be a mom. When we give birth, there's the physical price. There's the emotional price. There's the financial price. There's the price of 50 million runs of carpool and staying up late nights and all the prices. There's the spiritual price that we must pay to be godly moms. But what can we learn from Mary about godly motherhood? We can learn that we can expect motherhood to cost us. But we must be willing to pay the price and keep paying it. It's not just about the price of childbirth. And let me tell you, guys, if you've never been through natural childbirth, and I can tell you the price is really high. But that's only the beginning. That only sets the stage for what's to come. But we don't just pay the price once or twice. We don't just pay the price till our kids reach middle school or graduate from high school. We know that motherhood's going to cost us. So we follow Mary's example when we expect for there to be a cost, but we keep paying the price for as long as God gives us breath. Well, from there, we keep going in Mary's motherhood, because we're going to walk from that scene where Jesus was 8 days old to now he's 33 years old, or I'm sorry, 30 years old. He hasn't begun his public ministry yet, but he has been invited to a wedding. Now, I talked about this exact scenario earlier this year, back in February, but I couldn't resist coming back to it one more time, because I think this is such an amazing moment. Jesus is at a wedding in Cana, and we're going to pick up with John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus, that is Mary, said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother just turned around and said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I love this snapshot from Mary's motherhood. I love what we can learn from her life here in this moment, because, see, none of us are raising the Son of God, right? All of us are raising these precious kids that God has given to us. But here is the amazing opportunity that God gives to us in the midst of that. We get to believe in them. We get to breathe life into them. We get to set the stage for them to live for him. We get to come beside them. We get to train them. We get to set an example for them. And we get to empower our children to live their purpose. Empower our children to live their purpose. See, here's the thing. We're not just raising them to live a great life, to be happy, to go find their joy, to chase their bliss. We are raising them to live for King Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever we are on this journey, we can help set the stage for them. You know, years and years ago, when I was a young mama, For about 10 years, you would find me back in preschool. For about 10 years, I taught three-year-olds, twos and three-year-olds for years, because that's when my mama taught me at church. She was my three-year-old Sunday school teacher, and I gave my life to Christ 1 month into turning four. And so that was a point and a place for me that I said, I put my stake in the ground here, and I am teaching three-year-olds. As long as I have three-year-olds, I'm teaching three-year-olds. And so I taught three-year-olds until Journey Grace moved up into kindergarten. And then guess what I did? I moved up into elementary. And I taught in elementary for probably about a decade, because that's where my kids were. And I wanted them to see a mama who's going to serve Jesus with them. Moms, there's some women in this church who are dropping your kids off in kids ministry and then running as fast and far as you can. And I know I'm getting down into the tall weeds here, but here's the thing. You want to empower your kids to live for Jesus? Show them how to do it. Be there with them. Let them sit beside you while you are setting the stage for them, because someday God's going to require you to walk to the next step to fulfill another calling in your life. And guess who's going to be right behind you in kids ministry? Those kids. I have the amazing opportunity for this Vacation Bible Blast that my baby, my Journey Grace, is co-leading Vacation Bible Blast with me. She's come up through the ranks, three-year-olds, elementary, all the days, all the ways. Now she's written large group for the rest of the children to experience VBB. Now she's learning to lead the event as a whole. It's hard. It's challenging. But that is the opportunity that we get to do. When there was a problem at that wedding, Mary was like, my son can take care of this. I know he has it going on, and he can step in and make a difference. And mamas, here's the thing. What can we learn about godly motherhood from Mary? We can empower our children to live their purpose. We can watch their strengths. We can see what their giftings and their talents are. We can study their personality. We can watch them as they bloom and blossom, and we can walk and serve beside them. This Wednesday night at Vanguard Church, we're having an all VBB volunteer meeting. Honestly, there should not be a teenager here that doesn't have a parent with them, walking beside them, believing in them, lighting the way, showing them, I'm here with you. And here's the thing, there comes this moment, we can't force our kids to follow Jesus. There is no guarantee in this journey. We cannot make them live for him, but we can set the stage for them to walk on. And that is what godly mamas do. That's what godly mamas do. So moms, grandmas, dads, aunts, uncles, spiritual mothers, wherever you are in this journey, are you empowering the next generation to live for Jesus? I pray that you are. We're going to jump from there to another scene. This scene is in both Matthew as well as in Mark. And this is a scene where, well, Mary wasn't perfect. Mary was an amazing, amazing godly woman, but sometimes even she messed up. And I don't know about you all, but I actually appreciate the fact that even Mary got it wrong sometimes. That encourages me. That helps me know that I can still be a godly mama, an exemplary mama, a mama worth emulating, even when I lack perfection. Forgive me for those of you that believe Mary was perfect, but this is what the Word of God says. While Jesus, Matthew 12, verses 46 and 47, while Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. Someone told him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. I want to stop right here for just a moment. That word standing, I want you to catalog it in the back of your mind, okay? We're coming back to that verse or that word here in just a moment. But the second thing I want you to note is that Mary and Jesus' brothers, his half-brothers, they weren't standing with him. They weren't standing for him. They weren't standing beside him. They weren't inside with him. They were outside. They were outside. They were removed from him doing his father's will. In fact, they were so outside that Mark tells us they sent someone inside to go say, Jesus, we're out here. We're waiting. You need to come pay attention to us because we're your family and we're the main ones. That was problematic with Jesus. That's not the way kingdom structure looks in the eyes of Jesus, because he was about his father's business. And look what he says. Verse 48, he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hands toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Thing is, even Mary, perhaps the most godly mother who has ever existed, even she needed a reset. She couldn't just demand her rights as a mom. She couldn't just show up, so to speak, on Mother's Day and say, "I'm your mother. Worship me. Pay attention to me. Make me matter." She certainly couldn't do that with the Son of God. Mary didn't get to control her kid either. And if we think motherhood's about control, well, we might as well release that illusion really quick, or else it's going to be stripped out of our hands. Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother." Whoever does the Father's will. This isn't about thinking about, talking about, acting as if, giving lip service to. This is about actually doing the Father's will. So how do we live as a godly mother following Mary's example? We refocus on our Heavenly Father's will. We refocus on his will. Mary's child's life, this perfect, holy child that she gave birth to, the Son of God, his life was to be about his God-given purpose. And guess what, moms? Guess what? Ours is too. Because God has a plan for each of you. Each of you moms, each of you dads, each of you singles, each of you young adults, each of you teenagers. God has a plan for you. All of us can stand up and demand our rights. All of us can say, "Look at me, look what I've done, look at who I am." But just like Mary, if we want to live a godly life of leadership, sometimes we need to be reminded, it's not about us. It's about him. I loved worship this morning. I loved worship this morning because it was such a holy reset on the fact, less of me, more of you. That's the way Jesus wants us to live this life on Mother's Day and on every day. I believe that divine rebuke and reset changed Mary. I think it impacted her and took everything she knew and loved and adored about her son Jesus, and I believe it took it to the depths of her heart. Because here's the thing. When I first started studying this message, I saw something, actually two things. I'd never seen before in this passage. After all these years of studying the scripture, I was like, Lord, what is there for me to say about Mary that hasn't been said 50 million times? And maybe this is something you already knew. It's something you already saw about Jesus. But for me, this changes everything. And I can tell you, as I stand here on this Mother's Day, it profoundly, profoundly affects the reason I can stand. Because now we're going to come to the foot of the cross with Mary. We're coming to John chapter 19 as we continue in our series through the book of John. There they crucified him, verse 18, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Verse 25, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Here's the thing. When I envision the foot of the cross, I envision Mary like she's portrayed in the Passion of the Christ. I envision her flat on the ground, wailing, grieving, devastated, watching her son, looking up and watching her son being tortured, being crucified, being mocked, being ridiculed, and she's flat on the ground. That's not an unlikely way to imagine her. That's not an unreasonable way for us to envision her. I would be doing that. I feel that way sometimes in motherhood. Anybody else? I see a couple nods and hands. Yeah. Flat on the ground, weeping, wailing, broken. But friends, would you look back with me at the text at verse 25? What was Mary doing? Say it. Say it. Say it. She was standing. She was standing at the cross. You say, what's the big deal about that? That was my question. So I dug a little bit deeper, and here's the thing. That word there for standing comes from a Greek word, histemi, to stand or to cause to stand. And when that word, that specific word, is used in the New Testament, it is a physical standing, but even more so, it implies standing firm in faith, standing firm in one's beliefs, standing firm. That physical standing is where you get up off the ground, moms, and you quit wailing and you quit grieving and you stand up and you say, I am here and I'm going to stand firm on God's promises. And we've talked about standing firm so many times. This is the standing firm that says, no matter what's happening in my life, Cynthia, I am standing up. I am standing strong in the Lord. Interestingly, when we saw Mary standing outside, that was the same word for stand. But that time, she was standing in her own strength, in her own rights, in her own motherly position that wanted to be adored, that wanted to be acknowledged, that wanted to be focused upon. But now, at the foot of the cross, Mary is standing firm in something else. I believe she was standing firm in faith in that moment. It was a different kind of standing. It wasn't a standing about who she was. It was a standing about who he is. In the Greco-Roman world, the concept of standing was often associated with stability, authority, and presence. To stand was not only a physical act, but it was also a metaphor for one's position or status. In the Jewish context, standing was significant in worship and prayer, symbolizing reverence and readiness to serve God. Moms, What do we learn about godly motherhood from Mary? We stand. We stand firm. We stand firm with our kids in their suffering. And can I just say, we stand firm as moms in our suffering. We don't run. We don't cower. We don't give up. We don't quit. We don't hide. We may feel like groveling. We may feel like running 50 million miles away. We may feel like pulling the covers up over our heads. But if we're going to learn something about godly motherhood from Mary, we're going to follow her example. We're going to stand up. We're going to stand firm, not in ourselves, not in our accolades that we're so great or that we've been such perfect moms. We've already settled that. Not perfect, but he is. He is. And even in his suffering, we stand up and we pull a little bit closer to him and we can stand firm because we're right there face to face with him. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our hope. That's where we get our joy. That's how we keep walking the next step and the next step and the next step and take the next breath and the next breath and the next breath. We're going to stay at that scene at the foot of the cross for just a moment because there's a little bit more God wants to show us. John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing, do you see that word there? Standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Here's the thing about this scenario. This was the other thing that God showed me as I studied this passage. God completely changed the definition of family at the cross. He changed it from nuclear family, biological family, core family, same address family, and he made family defined by spiritual family. He changed it. With Family Disciple Me, we say that we speak him into the lives of those God has entrusted to us. And that's a very deliberate wording because here's the thing. I have 5 children. I always say to Journey Grace, I'm so blessed because God gave me a number 5. I look at my Aunt Allurie and I say, I'm so blessed because God gave me a number 4. Not every mom gets to have 5. Not every mom gets to adopt children. Not every mom gets to have her home full of children or grandchildren. But here's the thing, it's not just about biological nuclear family. There at the foot of the cross, Jesus looked at his disciple whom he loved, and he looked at his mama standing there, and he said, you two, I want you to be family. I want you to be family. Who is it that God has entrusted to you? Because if we want to be godly moms, if we want to learn something about godly motherhood from Mary, here's what we do. We embrace the people God sends our way. We embrace the people God sends our way. I was so blessed. I have to call out Paige. You made me cry. She walks up to me during worship and she hands me this card. A person can't have too many moms. That's why I'm glad I have someone like you in my life. And then I felt like the Lord said during worship, you need to read that card. What a privilege, Paige. What a privilege, Cindy, to just get to come alongside in a tiny way and say, you matter to King Jesus. You matter. You have purpose. You have calling. Vanguardians, those of you who are listening later on the Family Disciple Me podcast, here's the thing. It's not just about your one kid or your three kids or your four or your two or your one grandkid or whatever. It's about who God has entrusted to you. Who has he entrusted to you? Are you raising them up? Are you loving them? Are you believing in them? Are you taking them into your heart, into your home, into your life? That's what Jesus wanted. It was one of his very last acts from the cross. John, Mama, I want you two to become family. I'm so grateful for the mamas in this church. Anne, you make all the difference in my world. I am so thankful for the spiritual daddies in this church, men who rise up and say, I'm going to love the next generation. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to disciple them. Gabe, I'm going to weep over them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm so thankful for the young adults in this church who make somebody else matter in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the teenagers like Josh, who say, I'm going to be a worshiper, and I'm going to lead kids at VBB. There's so many ways that God says to us, embrace the people I send your way. Vanguardians, that's what sets us apart. Family Disciple Me, that's what sets us apart. It's not just about me and mine. It's about his and ours. And we get to work together to build the kingdom of God so that others are loved into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege. You want to be a godly mom, godly dad, a godly person? Go make disciples. Go make disciples. Seek him and then speak him into the life of someone he's entrusted to you. But now we have one more scene from Mary's life. And in this scene, we see her there standing. Because I don't see in scripture where she fell. I have no doubt that she did. I'm not trying to paint a picture, a reality that probably wasn't true. But let's just go with the fact that scripture said she was standing. So we still see her there standing at the foot of the cross. And we're going to pick up with verse 28 in chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And I can imagine as they did that Mary thought of the countless cups of clean, clear water she had given her son. And her heart broke as she saw the mockery and the ridicule of what they did to her son, her Savior. Verse 30 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Here's the thing. Jesus had work to accomplish. He had work to complete. And you do too. And you do too. And you do too. And you do. And you do. And I do. Godly motherhood is about raising up the next generation to follow Jesus. It's about taking these precious children, these babies and toddlers and elementary school kids and the sweet middle kiddles when they're in junior high and the high schoolers and the young adults. It's about raising them up, breathing life into them, empowering them to run and chase hard after Jesus and praying over them and anointing them and setting the stage for them and training them and preparing them. But mamas, here's the thing. There's more to your life than your kids. There is. You're not just a mom. You're more. You're a child of God. You're his daughter. You have his calling. You have his purpose. And if you want to live as a godly mom, or let me just extend that, as a godly dad, a godly grandpa, a godly young man, a godly disciple maker, a godly follower of Jesus, you must finish what God has for you to accomplish. Finish what God has for you to accomplish. That's what our Savior did. He went all the way to the cross to finish what God had called him to accomplish. What is it that God's called you to do? Are you going to quit once your kids grow up? Are you going to quit when they walk away from Jesus? Are you going to quit when they go a different direction that you can't control? Are you going to quit when life doesn't work out the way you want it to? Are you going to quit when there's hardship or there's struggle? Are you going to quit when there's pain, when there's failure? Are you going to quit when your world is falling apart? Or are you going to finish what God has called you to accomplish? My challenge, my imploration, how's that for a word, Eric? That's a Kellyism. I implore you, by the mercies of God, my imploration, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, to present your body as a living sacrifice every day of your life. No matter where you are in the journey, no matter where life finds you this day, this Mother's Day, whether it's a day full of the greatest joys or it's a hard day full of sorrows, full of grief, full of loss, will you take the next step for Jesus? Will you finish what he's given you to do? I encourage you, let's finish it. Let's live it well. Let's chase after what God has for each of us until God calls us home. If you have breath, you have life. And if you have life and you have a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the universe, you have purpose. Go live it. Go live it. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for us.
Central Podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.